Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So we're now sponsored by Ball across the entire DNVR network, as in Ball Arena, where the Nuggets play, as in the aerospace technology company, also as in the world's largest aluminum can and packaging manufacturer. And they manufacture a lot of those cans right here in Colorado, in Golden, Colorado, to be exact. And Ball hit us up. They're looking to add line capacity to their plant here in Golden, Colorado. They're looking to hire production technicians. So if that sounds like you, hit them up, because like I said, they're adding line capacity to their 400 person plant here in town in Golden, Colorado, because the demand for sustainable aluminum beverage cans is greater than ever. If you're interested in working at Ball, hit them up. Go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden, or you can simply text Golden to 77222. Ball makes 8, 12, and 16-ounce can sizes for all kinds of liquids. They make cans in over 30 different sizes at facilities across the world. The Golden Plant makes regular 8-ounce, 12-ounce, and 24-ounce growler-sized cans. Alumitech bottles, several different can lint sizes as well. So, again, go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden, or you can simply text Golden to 77222 for more info.
Hey! What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Winner's Lounge. A Winner's Lounge that you didn't know which way it was going to go to the final seconds. Dare I say the final second, right when the buzzer sounded. The Nuggets get the win. Another Munder.
Another one.
This is what we do. We Munder.
We're a defensive team.
That's true. The Nuggets are a defensive
just grind
team.
Out win after win.
Absolutely incredible. I got an all-star cast with me. I'll introduce them in a second. But first, I'm going to introduce the presenting sponsor of this show and every Winner's Lounge. That is, of course, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. I killed it tonight, Dev.
Yeah, I mean, when I don't win, you guys call me out. When I win, why don't we talk about it?
Did you win tonight? Talk about
we
it.
We won tonight. We won tonight.
Hey, I won big, though, on the Eric parlay. I'm not going to lie. He gave us a nice little parlay. Won a little bit of coin on that one.
Let me tell you about the Eric parlay, because people want to give him credit. He's not getting regular lines. He's creating his own.
So he does create his own.
It's not
it was
regular
great.
Things.
You got to start doing that.
He's like 8-0, so you got to love it.
Win money any way you can.
You got to.
So you guys are probably wondering, it's Halloween. This is our Halloween party, and I've got a all-star cast with me. You guys won't believe it. Over here to my left is Travis Barker.
I probably got like 20 more minutes of wearing this costume tonight, so soak it up,
definitely,
guys.
That's the thing about costumes. After about an hour, you're kind of like, ah, man.
I've worn this all day, too. It's been a marathon.
Have you ever done the fake beard?
Yeah, it's
not good. Oh, it's the worst, man. It's the absolute worst.
Sounds hot.
Over here, I've got Moses.
Hello, peace be with you.
A.K.A. the king of the chat, the savior of the chat,
here
Moses.
To lead the flock across the dark waters of bench minutes.
This guy, man.
Unbelievable. And then over here, oh man, I'm going to screw this up. Vegeta?
Vegeta.
And you better put some respect on my name.
You mean, you know I'm a big Dragon Ball Z guy. Always have been.
Of course.
Do you have anything? Usually when I throw it, you give a little something. Did you see what Ray did? He was very charismatic when I threw to him. What are you going to do?
He's good. The guy is good.
He is good, man.
Just like the Nuggets defense.
Yes.
Very, very
what
good.
What a segue, man.
This is a Munder team. This is the type of team that they are, and it's fun to watch.
Is that where you want to start? Because honestly, there's so many places we could start.
I mean, we can start with they won this game on defense. Jokic, our savior, our hero, he's incredible. He had two turnovers down the stretch tonight. And look, second night of a back-to-back, tired legs. It was clear he was tired, short on a lot tonight. And by the way, he was awesome. Don't get me wrong. Jokic was awesome. But Denver had to win tonight with defense, and they hold the Timberwolves in the second quarter to 15 points. In the fourth quarter, in winning time, to 18 points. They enter the fourth quarter down. They have to get some stops, and they get them, including a game-saving block. Ray, are you buying this Nuggets defense? Are they a top 10, top 5 defense in your mind?
I've got a key word for you.
Okay.
If I can change the metric a little bit.
Okay.
Sandpaper. Just sandpaper everywhere. It's gritty.
Okay.
It doesn't feel nice all the time. But, hey, at the end of the day, it gets the job done. I'm absolutely buying this Nuggets defense. You can't always trust every Nugget to score, but you can trust every Nugget to put out the effort and make sure that they're doing everything that they can to make sure that we're getting them under.
Yeah, that we're getting them under.
Yeah.
Another munder and a 91. I mean, honestly, like almost a mega munder. Very, very narrowly a mega munder.
I mean, how this game started out, the Timberwolves took it to the Nuggets in tonight's first half. Like, they came out – Carl Anthony Towns came out like this was game seven of the finals for him, man.
It was.
14 points in the first quarter. Nine points in the first quarter. He finished with 14. And then, you know, Denver found itself – the bench didn't, but, you know, Denver rallied it and just put it on them in the second half. I wonder if, you know, the Nuggets have kind of realized we've got to win games with our defense because – if Michael Porter Jr. is not hitting shots, I don't know if they can be a top 10 offense. But apparently they can be a top 10 defense or top 3 defense, at least early in the season.
It's so impressive. Dev, are you buying this, though? Like, some of what they're doing, look, some teams have missed some shots, but they've done it enough times now. What is this, four? What's their record? 3-2? 4-2? Is it 6 games in?
They're 4-2, and they've held 5 of 6 opponents under 100 points.
They've got five munders in 6 games.
I think I'm buying it. And Harrison actually like brought up a big point about it. Right now, Michael Porter Jr. is not scoring the way that he can. But, I mean, shooters are going to go through their, like, their spurts. They're just not having things going. Like, even Curry has those type of moments.
Right.
First off, shots go in, shots go out. But one thing that can be consistent every single time is the effort put in on that end of the floor. So maybe this is just who they want to be because – at any time, that can switch over, and he can have a big night. The other guys can have a big night. But if you're going to play good defense, no matter what the night is, then you could pull a win, and that's just the type of team that they have to be if they want to be successful now and in the future.
Yeah, I really do think – I mean, Aaron Gordon makes a big difference. Just the ability to throw a guy out there. By the way, Aaron Gordon tonight, do you guys know? Plus 26.
Really?
Yesterday we highlighted how Luka Doncic was a minus 32 with Aaron Gordon just putting him in jail. Tonight he's a plus 26, and honestly it's a loud one. Like when he's out there, good things happen. Mm-hmm. And here's one thing I'll say about Aaron Gordon. He has surprised me the level to which he has fit in with Jokic and with this team.
Absolutely.
Last year I didn't feel like he was looking for his shot, and rightfully so. Like he had to fit in about a team that knew how to score. But this year I feel like he reads the rhythm of Jokic ball really well. He's never going to be a 25 point per game scorer. He might get it every here and there, but just the way he fits in and knows where to be, and then defensively he changes things like Paul Millsap used to. He does that even more so. So I am so impressed with him. 4 of 10 tonight, only 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. That's the kind of stat line I kind of expect from him. A little bit of everything.
I think he's impactful because he never settles. He never decides that, hey, I'm okay with taking 6 threes a night. He wants shots at the rim. He wants to draw fouls. And I don't know, would you give him the defensive chain of the game tonight?
No, I would not.
Really?
I would not. I mean, look, he probably deserves it. I mean, it's not ever good. But
he probably deserves it most nights. It's how we give Jokic the game ball.
That's
or how Jokic should get the game ball most nights.
You know who I'd give it to, though, is probably Will Barton because that play he made, not only did it save the game, but it was a hard play. That wasn't like a he just hustled or this or that. It's like he hustled, he got airborne.
When that play was developing, I thought that was for sure a layup.
I, honest to God, was just thinking, don't foul. Nuggets up to Malik Beasley. It's kind of sweet. And by the way, we should talk about this. Will Barton, he gets the block shot.
Yeah.
The ball gets bumbled a little bit. Then I thought Jokic was going to foul on a game winner.
the clock, the buzzer goes, Will Barton screams and then walks over to Malik Beasley, who's on the ground, and flexes on him. Yeah. Screams and flexes on him. Dev, I'm not trying to say or start rumors or this or that.
But you might be.
But I'm not. I'm not at all, because I don't know.
Not at all.
It felt like there was a little extra spice on that one.
I mean, you have to, especially being like a prisoner of the moment. Like, we're seeing it right now. There was a guy that tried to end you.
Yep.
That used to play for you. He knew what it was going to be. If Malik Beasley would have made the shot or got the foul, he would have flexed. He would have been the one that's showing out. So for Will Barton to do it in that way, that's big, because Will Barton is a guy that, you know, in years past, he's been on the wrong ends of the game, right, like winning or game losing plays. Mm-hmm. So for him to come up and step up in a different way, that wasn't a huge Will Barton game on the offensive end.
Right.
But defensively, that was a huge game, because he held Anthony Edwards to a low on the season. And then he has that big play right there. Like, that, I mean, it's going to overshadow the type of night that he had. That's a big night for him.
He had three steals and two blocks tonight as well on top of that. So it was like, you know, he was making an impact, at least in the box score. I just think there was a little bit something extra on there. Like, Will Barton, he put a little extra. And by the way, Malik Beasley, I would venture that three or four of his career high scoring games have come against Denver. He always he always brings a little something when he's playing Denver. That's why I feel, I don't know if there's really personal beef. It's just, when there's a guy that brings it a little extra against you and you beat him, that's all it was to me. That's all it was. He put a little extra sauce on it.
I mean, all I know is, by the end of Malik Beasley's time in Denver, he did not want to be here anymore. I think I heard he asked out, you know, during that last season he was here. Mm. And look, the guys in the locker room know that.
Right.
That stuff gets around. So, yeah, Will Barton knew that Malik didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
So, I think it is personal. Absolutely.
Let's talk about Nikola Jokic tonight. You mentioned earlier, Karl-Anthony Towns also takes this matchup very personally. Very personally. He clearly wants to go and prove something against Jokic. The first 3 minutes of this game, Jokic looked terrible. Karl-Anthony Towns looked dominant. Jokic looked like he was tired. Second out of a back-to-back, he just looked like he didn't have it. And I'm sitting here watching the game, and I'm thinking, don't do this to us, Jokic. Don't do this where, like, you get dominated in a game or whatever. Mm-hmm. Jokic kind of paced himself. First quarter, I don't think, was very good. I don't think he scored in the first quarter. After that,
he didn't.
After the first quarter, the entire script flipped. Jokic goes on to put up this stat line, guys. 26.
We get an empty netter.
Well, that's good.
Abs get an empty netter.
Yeah, that's a good one.
26 points, 19 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 block shots, 1 steal. Think about that stat line. 19 rebounds? What number sticks out the most?
Can I point out the turning point for me?
Okay.
It was the refs.
It was
he
the refs?
He got into it with the refs.
Okay.
I feel like at that point he said, okay, I need to overcome whatever you guys are going to throw at me tonight, because this isn't right. You know, I don't want this disrespect. So let me just show you real quick why I am who I am and why you guys are refs.
Right?
Yeah.
It was. I do think it lit a fire under him. How would you evaluate Jokic's night tonight?
Well, first off, I'm not, like, into, like, corporal punishment or anything like that, but that was an ass-whipping.
That's good.
That was fair.
That was an
good to get that out of the way.
Why do you call it corporal punishment?
You know, for a guy to, like, one guy really took that serious. That was a serious game for Karl-Anthony Towns. He came out with a spark, an edge. He
cockiness, by the way. Towns is, like, way cockier than his accolades.
If you look up the definition of front runner in the dictionary, there's a picture.
And I like Towns. Like, I like big men with skill. He frustrates me, man.
He's really talented.
But he also frustrates Jokic. And to Ray's point, there was a turning point in the game. He kind of got into, like, a mini scuffle with Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
And the referee didn't make the call that he should have. And then from that point on, he was like, okay, that's you. For the rest of the night, you're cooked. And he truly did cook him. Karl-Anthony Towns went 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and he was a minus 23.
Minus 23.
That they won by 2.
Yeah,
minus 23 in a game they won by 2. That's the story of the game right there.
Totally.
Two like stars against each other, and one just completely dominated on a C-minus type of game with monster stats on the second night of a back-to-back. And it was just like such a beating. Like, that's amazing.
I felt like Jokic rope-a-doped him a little.
to start. He lets
he's the king of the game. 26 points, 19 rebounds, 7 assists.
Easily.
I mean, who else are you going to give it to?
Look at that picture. Calling out that horn set.
Little horns. Yeah. Little horns, everybody. Yeah. Little horns.
But I felt he rope-a-doped him a little in the first quarter.
You thought he rope-a-doped?
Yeah.
Played a little possum.
Yeah. You think he was playing? You think so, too?
I don't think he put out everything he had in that first quarter.
I think he knows the impact of, like, flipping that switch.
I think he knows how to play a player like Towns. Like, specifically a guy like Towns who can get really high and really low.
Intentionally humble.
Yeah. But when Jokic turned it on, Towns had no answer. And, I mean, what it showed me is just, like, there's levels to this shit.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's
there
definitely
is
levels.
Such a big disparity between Nikola Jokic and the next best center in the league. And then Karl Towns. Like, there is such a wide gap there.
There's levels.
And you saw
it
tonight, man. They're just playing two different games.
Yeah.
Two different games.
I like that take because Towns started out on top, right? He was the higher draft pick and all this. Oh, in the future.
Kristaps started on top.
Well, Kristaps started on top, too. But you had this, like, oh, he's the future, this or that, right?
Yeah.
And then Jokic has overtaken him. And then you had Game 82, like, okay.
Right.
But then Jokic sort of overtook him. And since then, you think, like, okay, you're on top, everybody's gunning for you, but Jokic keeps furthering the gap between those two guys. And tonight, you're right, Jokic took this game, like, Towns was like, I'm going out, this is my prize fight. And Jokic was like, this is my spar.
Exactly.
As I tune up for another game.
Jokic,
like, I'm
knew
just sparring
they were
here.
In for a four-quarter battle, and Towns tried to end it in the first round.
Yeah. He was really, I don't want to say he was incredible tonight. It's incredible that he can put up a stat line like that and control a game on a night where I think he wasn't that good. He missed a lot of bunnies. He missed
turnovers.
A lot of threes. He had 7 turnovers. And yet still, his C game is like a top.
Yeah.
You know, like, how many players can even have this game? And for me, I felt like it was a C game for him.
20?
Maybe 20 players can have the game Jokic had tonight. And I'm like, maybe his worst game of the year. Yeah, but it was awesome.
I will say this, though. Jokic had 3 blocks tonight. This has gone under the radar, unsurprisingly.
Love this.
He has been a much better rim protector this season than last season. Like, I've seen a big jump there, man. He was good at times against Utah. He was good against San Antonio. Like, good against Cleveland at times. He was good again tonight.
Yeah.
I just think that part of his game has taken a big jump. It's probably tough to quantify. You can look at the blocks that he's already had this year to look at that, but you can just see it with the eye test. He's better defending the rim this year, or maybe he just cares more about it this year and is putting more effort than he was last season.
And that's one other part of his game that is just better. A lot of his game was like, is he going to become a defender? He's clearly becoming a better defender, but also he's also a better rebounder now. So now he's
the rebounds are insane.
Parts, he's opening other parts to his game while he's getting better when it was already like, how good could he be? And he just keeps adding to it where even on a relaxed game, like, we don't even know if he's, like, back, like, if he's 100% or not. He's just there.
This is my song, actually. I played the drums on
this. That's nice. Right. This is your jam. Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can see it.
What an ode to you, Travis Barker. This is incredible. Ray, do you think Jokic's improved defense, how much of it is about him, and how much of it do you think is about the Nuggets have some better defenders around him now? I mean, they're
kind of being recognized more. And,
well, like, okay, he's getting 19 rebounds tonight, 14 defensive rebounds. But there's a lot of missed shots right now because Denver's getting a lot of stops. So where do you credit Jokic's defensive improvement this year?
I credit a lot with his body. You know, he's a father, you know, dad strength for one. But also I think he's worked really hard to be physically indomitable. You know, he's not being pushed around by anybody in the league at this point.
Yeah.
You know, but he's also maintaining this ability to take guys off the dribble, to be quicker to the ball and get, maybe he's not jumping higher, but he's jumping first, and he's, you know, keeping his position in ways that are helping the team a lot, in ways that you take him off the floor and there aren't that many guys on the roster. I don't know if there's anyone on the roster who can do that.
Yeah. Why don't we hit our first break? On the other side, though, we got a lot to get to. Later on in the show, Brendan Vogt, you guys are going to get to see him in his costume today. He's going to be coming back and reporting live from Ball Arena what Michael Malone, Nikola Jokic, and others had to say. And then on the other side, guys, tonight, I feel like tonight was the Bones Highland game. Like, the other ones were like, they were like the prelude.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight was the night where it's like
the coming out party.
A little bit of a coming out party, man. And what's crazy is, we'll get to it, but it wasn't even like he put up crazy stats. It's just that he fit in.
Yeah.
Fit in very, very nicely. But we'll get to it.
I might order some of this tonight after I get off this show. Sexy pizza, guys. If you're coming to the Broncos tailgate tomorrow, sexy pizza at the tailgate. As much as you want, as little as you want. Garlic knots, too.
Tailgate's so fun.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Tailgate, 100 times more fun than the Broncos game.
Yeah. At least there's shade at the tailgate. So very true. Little shade at the stadium.
Yeah, very
true. A lot
true.
More comfortable.
Yes.
There's super producer Kale on screen. Look at him. Spider-Man yoke.
But if you can't make it out to the tailgate and you're still in Denver, check out Sexy Pizza. They got a bunch of locations in Denver. They got one on South Broadway. They got one in the Highlands. The South Broadway one's on Pearl Street. They've been in the Denver community for 13 years. They're as local as it gets. Great pizza, great salads, great sides. And they also do a lot of cool stuff for the community. A portion of every sale from these five specialty pies, they got five of them, the Philanthropies. A portion of those sales go to a range of different nonprofits.
Cool Colorado
right here
company.
In Colorado.
Really
Sexy
cool
Sexy Pizza, great
company.
Food, great company also. So make sure to check that out if you're looking to hit up some pizza. Also, I think the newest sponsor here on the podcast across the DMVR network, Snooze Sleep. Adam's got a snooze mattress.
Hell yeah. Yes.
A bunch of us at DMVR have snooze mattresses.
Okay.
They're awesome. How would you rate your sleep on a snooze mattress?
You have to understand, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
And it's not just the mattress, it's also the frame, because mm-hmm. it does the thing where it will elevate your feet just a little bit, so that apparently the blood flows better, you wake up early. I'm telling you, it's insane. It's insane.
What's also insane is the deal that you can get on these snooze mattresses with the code DNVR. Use that at snoozesleep.com. You can get $250 off a mattress and $250 off an adjustable base.
So
you get the frame and the mattress, $250 off each one.
It's so incredible. Here's the thing about a mattress. It's like a phone. If you went 10 years without getting a new phone and then you got a new one, it'd be like, holy
That's
crap.
Yeah.
Look at all these features we have. That's how it is with a bed, I'm telling you.
So snooze mattress is awesome. You can customize it to fit your body. If you like to sleep hot, if you like to sleep cold, best mattress on the market, go to snoozesleep.com. And get that snooze flip delivered straight to your door. Happy sleeping and recovery. I know I gotta take this off too. Use code DNVR. Get $250 off the mattress and get $250 off the adjustable base as well.
All right, back here, segment two here, our Saturday Winners Lounge. Tonight's game, we'll just get the ugly part out first. The second unit continues to look absolutely horrible. The Nuggets have started. Michael Malone has started for the last two games to stagger. He's played Michael Porter and Will Barton with the second unit quite a bit. Guess what? The results are almost identical, if not the exact same thing. One thing he did tonight that has been a little bit different was he played Bones Highland. But here's what's interesting. He didn't really play Bones with the bench. He did a little bit. But he mostly played Bones behind the first stagger with the starters. So if Barton comes out early and Michael Porter comes out, then they come back with the bench. Then those guys are in for a lot when Yoke comes back in. Bones Highland has came in, and I thought he looked great tonight. He looked very poised. He gets 8 points. He gets 3 assists, 1 steal. He was a plus 10, goes 3 of 7 from the field. None of those numbers stick out to you. What sticks out to me was this was a very close game. The margin for error was extremely small, and he fit in and did a nice job. Dev, how do you evaluate tonight for him?
What sticks out most for me is how intentional those minutes were.
Yeah.
The purpose of putting him there was to steal minutes from other players. So they didn't put him with the second unit. They also didn't put him in because Monte wasn't having a good game.
Right.
Who's the starting guard. They put it in an intentional point to stagger in a big way, but also to put him with that first unit, which gives them a different look. Which gives the team a difficult way to counter that. But it also it gets him around guys that fit how he plays. I think that's what's also so difficult with Faku, which we'll get into in a moment, I'm sure. But it just makes it hard for him to play with that unit because it doesn't fit what the Nuggets have right now or what his best strength is. So with Bones, he just got out to go out and play. Everybody's going to look good around Jokic, but also a guy that can extend the defense, that can also push the pace, and then also just has a high IQ, and that's what Bones brought. So big, big game for him because I just feel like it was done with a purpose.
And Ray, the shot he hit in the corner was a big shot.
Absolutely. It was timely. And I think, you know, kind of to your point, you know, he is – when you transition from Will Barton to Faku Campazzo, I love Faku. Faku is great. We all love Faku. There's a level of gravity that Bones has both
right.
in the corner and driving to the basket that a lot of players on the roster struggle to have. So I think that's been big. And the timing with, you know, there are a lot of missed shots in this game. And you can make shots in the first quarter or the first few minutes and feel great about it and say, oh, I'm taking it to you. But the biggest moments are the shots that really matter. LeBron said 2 points isn't just 2 points. And he never explained it, but I think that's kind of what it is. It's where the impact means more than just the connotation of, you know, what he did.
The impact of his three tonight in the fourth quarter, Harrison, was like, I mean, it, to your point, it was worth a lot. And it, I think there was a timeout right after that, and I think he, that's where he ended. Michael Porter came in, but it was one of those ones where it's like, we just need a little. Like, this game was a game of inches, 91-93. They actually, both teams got him under tonight, but it was a game of inches, and that was a shot that went in, and it was like, boom, that's it. That's the hump. Yeah. We got it.
My favorite part about Bones so far this season is that he's just got no fear. He's not afraid of missing shots, and he hit that three, and what was it, a possession or two earlier? He missed a three from the exact same spot, but he came down, got the ball in the same location in that corner, and knocked it down. I was pissed at him a couple of minutes earlier for passing up an open look for three. But that's like the number one impression I've had from his limited minutes so far. He's not afraid to take shots. And you see rookies a lot of time come into really good teams, deep rotations, and they, you know, try to be, they just try to fit in. They try to make the extra pass, not take too much offense to themselves. But Bones knows he's a really good shooter. He's not afraid to let it fly. And because of that, like, he hit one of the biggest shots of the night.
Yeah. You talk about the confidence part with him. What I like about him, you were upset he didn't take the shots. And there were one or two where I thought, like, that's your shot, this or that. But I actually like that. What I like is that he knows he's in there to make an impact in a lot of different ways. And he's not being too aggressive with his shot. He knows that there's other players. And this is part of what I like. He played – I'm curious to see of his 18 minutes tonight, how many of those were with Jokic and how many were not. I would guess it was about half, if not a little bit more, with Jokic. And that's the thing, is if when you're playing, he's not out there thinking, this is what I was afraid of. If you just put him, if you replaced Austin Rivers with him, does he need to save the bench? That's a lot to ask a rookie. You throw him out there with Jokic, with Aaron Gordon, he's like, okay, I don't need to save anything. I just need to fit in, because, and we'll do it. And that's why I thought it worked.
So most, I think most of his minutes were, because his big stretch was actually in the second quarter when he checked in 7 minutes to go with most of the starters. Denver was down 14.
Ugh.
And then at halftime, they only trailed by four. He was a plus 10 in those 7 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that was alongside, you know, the regulars. So he got a lot of work alongside Jokic tonight. And, yeah, I agree. He's not a quick fix for the bench, but there's no way you can take him out of the rotation.
He's definitely part of the solution.
Dev, there's no way you could take him out of the rotation. Did you hear that?
I heard it.
You've been the slowest to say he's going to be in the rotation. Is this it? Do we discover what the new rotation is? It's 11 guys.
So I'm not the slowest on it. I'm just not.
Right on it.
Yeah, I know how Malone is.
Right.
It's more so of knowing what Malone is and also the development that Malone wants. So it's not just a complete knock on Malone or anything like that. This is just kind of who he is and who he's shown to be. With Bones, and also with any rookie or young player, he has a tendency to bring them in slowly and to just keep on, like, opening it. So right now I don't think that it's the moment, but it's also something that he puts in his memory bank and he goes back to when things are not going well. They were down, they gave it a moment. I mean, they gave him a chance, and it turned around. It was a spark off the bench. So now I think he goes with the same thing that he does, and then he's going to try it again. And then if it clicks again, he's like, okay, I have to just keep on showing you more. So I feel like it's just kind of like just open doors. You just kind of like have to just keep guessing until it actually opens. And then he's like, okay, that's the one I'm going to go with every time. But I don't think that this is the moment yet.
Would it surprise you if he just didn't play next game? Get not being
it would
a back
not,
to
it
back?
Would not, it would not surprise me. But if you told me I had to pick one, I would say he does play. What about you?
No.
You think he'd like
he'll play the next back-to-back probably.
The next. Oh, you think it was a back-to-back thing? Could be. What about this? What about this? Let me ask.
What are we doing here? If Bones doesn't play, like we're really gonna roll that bench out again?
Let me. We're saving him for the playoffs. That's what we're
doing.
Well,
actually, to that point, though.
We're going
to
just let the bench throw away the game for real?
One of the hardest things for rookies, you hear it every year, is the 82-game schedule. It's so long. And I do wonder if part of this is Malone saying, like, look at his body. He's bones.
He's little. Like, 69 he didn't
he's chicken and bones.
Yeah, he as much as he's impressive and he's tough, you don't want to wear that guy down by January, February. So I wonder if there is a little bit of a, like, in Malone's head, maybe there's an actual number where he's like, I want to keep his minutes below 400 before Christmas. Mm-hmm. That way I can play him 800 after. I mean, as this way to sort of keep him fresh for the season. And you know these guys are working out during the season. And wonder if there's a little bit of a, let's give him an extra couple months of core strength before I roll him out there for a lot. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, if that was like a defined plan, I wonder if Malone would have just come out and said that to take a little heat off.
No way. No
it
way.
Is what I think is happening. I do think that for him to be valuable down the stretch, it's kind of better that he's not playing right now every night. But do I think Malone is going to be that transparent? I mean, think about how he talks about injuries.
Right.
You know? He's no, great.
Malone's been pretty transparent this year. Like, he's had a lot of bullshit to say, but he's been pretty transparent with, like, fair. Rotations and changes to the bench and stuff.
That's true.
I don't know.
So I'm told by super producer Kale, a.k.a. Spider-Man Jokic, that we have a lot of super chats that are starting to pile up. Let's hit these. Do you have a mic on, Kale? Alrighty. This one comes from Alex Epstein, a homie who's in the house, by the way, this whole week. It's been
great
to see.
Alex.
Nuggets are now first in opponents' points per game in the league. A per-game stat, but nonetheless, we'll run with it. Hell yeah. Nuggets defense, man, is for real. I wonder what their... Slow pace and great defense. I mean, nobody did see it coming. You know, we'll see how long this is sustainable, but they've been... I mean, the defense is for real, man. The defense has been really, really impressive.
Yeah, third best defense in the league. I mean, that could go up after tonight. It definitely will.
Holding Dallas to, what was it, 79 points or whatever?
Like the lowest Dallas has scored in the Luka Doncic era.
That single-handedly helped the defensive rating quite a bit. Yeah. What else we got? Gene Nice says, is there anyone who wouldn't rather see Bones come in than Faco or Rivers?
No one.
So, I want it.
Yeah.
Well, I want it. But.
So here's the thing. Rivers has been really bad, although he did hit a three tonight as well, and it was a big – I mean, every shot from him is a big one. I think he moved his ratio into the positive now. He's got more makes than blocks shots that got blocked.
Good development.
So very good development. But he hasn't been particularly effective. Faku is the louder player. Like, Austin Rivers, sometimes you just don't see him. He doesn't do anything. Doesn't have the ball. Faku's a loud player, and tonight, you know, I don't want to rag on the guy because I do think that Faku is in a bad situation. Not that you ever build the roster for a third-string point guard, which is what he is when everybody's healthy.
But you if you would, it would be like him and four shooters, right?
It would be three shooters and like Jared Allen type that just rolls to the rim. Yeah, just somebody that – and he obviously doesn't have that. So I think he's in a tough spot. That being said, having said that, 17 minutes tonight and he was a minus 24. And he, in particular, because you look at the rest of the bench and it wasn't quite that bad, it is becoming a trend with Faku where – It seems like teams have him figured out a little bit. He's not in a good lineup, and it's tough. So he's the guy to me that's starting to become the fall guy for Denver.
Absolutely. Fair, for sure. He's been bad, absolutely. Yeah. But I agree. The situation's not exactly set up for him to succeed. But, like, good players sometimes find a way to succeed in situations that aren't set up for them. You know, that being said, I don't think it's time or – there's any thought about like removing him from the rotation. I don't think that'd be the right move. I think you got to keep giving him some minutes here and there. But yeah, he's kind of the engine of what's been a disastrous bench unit. I mean, I thought PJ Dozier could be the engine of that unit.
Right.
Maybe I kind of miscalculated the player that PJ Dozier is because has not been that.
He's been
pretty
really
invisible
bad.
All year.
Yeah.
So it's really been Faku leading that group. And yeah, he's been bad.
Dev, is the bench, who do you think is more at fault for how bad the bench has been? Austin Rivers and Faku or Jermichael Green and Jeff Green?
Game plan. I just feel like it doesn't fit. Those guys don't. They have no cohesion. They're not together. They have no chemistry. It doesn't make sense for them, and it puts a guy like Faku in a very, very bad spot. But it also puts Jermichael Green and them in different spots as well because they're not the same athletic guys that they once were. That would have worked, you know, in the past where you could just throw up a lob because that's what he's good with, where they can knock down three-pointers as well. It just doesn't look the same as well. And then also another thing with Faku, and it's not to cape for him or anything like that, but last year I would say he was like maybe the second best defender on the team. Aaron Gordon, when he came in, he was the best defender. I mean, I'm not going to say that he's the reason, but there has to be something to him being such a good defender that it kind of has worn off on other people. Other people are also playing defense a lot better. Maybe he added that element, or just a guy that is like, okay, we played him so much. Why is he playing? He can't score. He can't do anything else. But he fit what Malone has been asking for his guys. Now that other guys are playing defense, Faku doesn't stand out in the exact same way, so he stands out in the negative ways. So you don't see all the positives that he brings anymore because everybody else is defending, which is what you wanted them to do in the first place. So maybe that was the reason that Faku was there in the first place, and they've accomplished that goal.
Yeah. This team does feel like they either need a rim roller, maybe in Jermichael Green's spot, who's, you know, Jermichael Green's had a bad season too. It's kind of flown under the radar.
He played 6 minutes tonight. Actually, I think this is Jermichael Green. No, wait. That's Jeff Green?
It's so hard to know.
One of them played 6 minutes tonight.
Is part of being under the
radar? I don't know which one it was.
Both were a minus 15, though, randomly enough.
Right, but I actually don't know. I'm wondering if ESPN actually switched the box score.
Is part of the underrated aspects of their negative play the fact that they're so easily mistaken?
Could be, could be.
Look, it's like, what Faku does, though, Faku gets the ball moving. He gets guys shots. He gets guys a lot of open pick and pops for sure. Those shots just haven't gone in.
They're not good shots either. Those aren't great shots.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a tough lineup. It's just tough.
Here's my question: is what's the idea? What shot are you looking for?
Yeah.
In these tandems, because it's really. It's a question mark.
Well, even Will Barton, honestly, tonight did not look good. And look, Will Barton, second night of a back-to-back, maybe that was it. He goes 3 of 10. Mm-hmm. But offensively, he didn't quite have it. And when he was in with that lineup, you're right. You either run a pick and pop, or you get the ball to Barton or MPJ to, like, force up bad shots. And guess what? Barton was willing to do that tonight. He didn't make them, but he was very willing. But at the same time, it's not like he was taking away good opportunities. It's just like he took the bad shot.
There were no good opportunities.
There were no good ones.
So. Hey, man, and I'm just going to throw this out. If I'm the Nuggets, I'm watching Will Barton's minutes. He's already played a lot to start off this season. He's gone above 30 in every game but that Dallas game. 31 minutes on the second night of back-to-back. I'm just paying close attention to his minutes if I'm Denver.
All right, what else we got, Kale? We got a couple more here. Addison tells us, how much do you think the defensive player of game chain is playing into the team's defensive mindset lately? I love this question. This is
a
great question. The defensive player of the game chain has secretly tricked everyone into trying harder. Ray, it's a thing, right?
It reminds me of like a Steve Kerzian make the league fun for, you know, a lot of the regular season for an NBA player, you know, it's kind of a grind. It's not always, sometimes it feels like a job. But I think this is one of those things that brings some fun back into the game. It's like when you're in high school and your coach tells you to break out some pads because you're all going to take charges and you're going to get knocked on the floor for some reason. It's a little bit different. It breaks up the monotony and it makes you feel like, hey, I have something to do today that's a little bit more than scoring points.
I see you have a take.
I think it has. Had zero effect on
defense. That's fair.
You're here to kill our fun.
Mostly
because the players are wearing jewelry that costs a hell of a lot more than that defensive player of the game chain and is way nicer. Look, like, I think...
So wait, your point is, if Michael Malone was to go and get like a real
actually,
what's the dollar amount? What's the dollar amount? Per game.
I don't know, man.
$500,000? $250,000?
I don't think that's in the KSE budget.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I think it can maybe inspire guys a little bit, but, like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is something that wore off in a month. Remember when the Nuggets were giving out a WWE belt for whoever won the shooting competition at practice at the beginning of the year a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Like, that stuff's really cool at the beginning of the season. I think it can get you in the right mindset for sure, but eventually it probably wears off. I think it's cool, though. I'm here for it. I'm here for the fun.
I buy it. I do. I think that guys also are bought into it. And it's more so because these guys are so prideful that, like, let's say that you got four of them, Adam. Ray got four. I got three. Harrison got zero.
Yeah, so that sounds right.
What are you doing?
Everybody's going to say, you don't do
anything. I've seen
Dev
play defense. He would get zero defensive player of the game.
I like this idea. I'm like, hey, how many defensive players
of
the game
you
don't have
got
one, right?
This year? So, like, it's really, like, more incentive. Like, okay, I need to work a little bit harder so I could be actually in the discussion and things like that. Not that it actually matters in, the, like, the grand scheme of things, but it's like, okay, I'm also trying on that end. I need to be rewarded for it. Or I want to be a guy that's stood out or, like, acknowledged. Because everybody just likes a good job. Like, you did well today. Even if it really doesn't matter, but it matters to you that it's like, okay, I am playing hard. So I think that it's not huge or anything like that, but I think that the guys that care about defense are the ones that are getting it. The guys that really don't, it's like, how do I get to that point where I get it? Because I feel like Michael Porter Jr. is going to want that because everybody talks about how he doesn't play defense. How do I work hard and how do I get that acknowledgement for that? I want it at least once.
In the NFL, they give out game balls. You ever see the coach in the locker room after the game? He's like doing the super hyped up speech. And he's throwing game balls around and everybody like gets an applause. I think it can be that type of thing because there's no game balls in the NBA. Usually Malone goes into the locker room and he's like, Jokic, great job. Barton, great job. But there's no like physical thing. So this is kind of the game ball.
Yeah.
So I think you can look at it that way.
I'm all in. I think it does make a modest impact on it, I do think it makes an impact. So I'm with. I never thought about it. Great question, Addison. Great super chat. All right, what else we got? M Bones. Did I do this wrong? Is this like a reference I'm not getting? M Bones.
I don't know. M Bones.
M Bones. All right, James. We appreciate it.
Thank you, James.
don't feel like I'm missing something. Steven says Nikola Jokic is going to go down as the best player of the 2020s. The man won the MVP last year, and he's getting better. Here's what I love about that. He did get his MVP the first year of the 20s.
He's off to a hot start.
Because here's the thing I was thinking about. When we were doing the coaches of the Nuggets history, Larry Brown is the Nuggets coach of the 70s. Doug Moe's the coach of the 80s. Dan Issel's the coach of the 90s. And you have George Karl's the coach of the 2000s. Michael Malone can't really be the coach of the teens because he was only there at the, you know.
Back end.
Yeah, like. So he kind of got screwed by the decade. Jokic winning his first MVP at the first year of the 20s kind of checks out.
Yeah. This is going to be the decade of Jokic.
He will be 36 at the end of the decade. 35, I guess. So
still playing.
Still playing, probably.
His prime.
In his prime
is this decade.
He might be in his prime there. All right. Let's take this question a little bit seriously here. Jokic really is playing like the best player in the NBA right now.
Absolutely.
And look, there's a lot of guys that have that claim. I mean, Giannis, it's not like I can sit here and say Jokic is better than Giannis, but I will say he has been as good as Giannis.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just look at it going forward. Who are the other guys? You got Luka as a contender for it. Luka's great. He's only going to get better. He's 22. He's only going to get better. But Jokic's right there, man. Like, I honest to God look at it, look at the landscape going forward, and I just think, he's so good. He gets better every year. To me, he's meaningfully better this year. I think he gets meaningfully better for the next 3 or 4 years. And if he's already the MVP and he's going up, why not?
He's got some advantages. You know, Murray being out, I think, is an advantage in the narrative because, unfortunately, so much of these sorts of awards are narrative.
Sure.
And when you already have one, I think it's a lot easier to justify giving someone another where you can say, hey, we were right. I think the NBA likes being right. So.
Yeah. All right. First off, I don't want to hear Luka be putting Nikola Jokic's class. I'm not here for that.
He's 22 years old.
Luka Doncic is not the same level player as Nikola Jokic. I don't want to hear
that. He's not at the moment, but we're talking about a decade. It's a long time.
Okay.
He'll be 31 at the end of the decade.
I'm just saying right now. Okay. Number two, there aren't a lot of reasons why Nikola Jokic would slow down. The guy never gets hurt. The guy's a maniacal worker. He's in the weight room after every single game. He's just addicted to like his craft and getting better and killing guys. He's going to be on really good teams in Denver going forward. There's just not a lot of reasons why he would slow down. He's getting better at defense. He's getting smarter, if that's even possible.
Right.
I still think
he's kind of getting smarter, though.
His shot can get better even. Like, he's just going to keep growing and growing, and it's scary.
I feel like the Nuggets went to Yoke almost too much down the stretch. He was so gassed.
I think that's the thing. Like, who does more for their team?
Yeah, that's true.
I think the answer is pretty clear.
It is weird how, like, guys like Luka have the ball in their hands nonstop. James Harden would have the ball in their hands nonstop. But yet, Jokic still feels like he does more for the team. It's just crazy, like how many, because it's also rebounding and all the other stuff. You know, it's pretty wild. The assists. I like it. I think there's a real chance. Honestly, I really do think there's a real chance he could be the player of the decade. I think that's so cool. Now we all know what you have to do to be the player of the decade.
Yep.
Rings, baby!
You've got to win the chip. You've got to win, and probably not just one. You probably have to win multiple. So
probably not three.
Hey, you could win two and be the player of the decade. Like that, could be, you know, like come on, man, come on. If you went through the players of the decade, so if you go back to the '80s, Magic Johnson or Larry Bird, they were players of the decade. Mm-hmm. You go to the '90s, Michael Jordan was the player of the decade. 2000s,
LeBron.
2000s,
Kobe.
I think. Like, Kobe or Tim Duncan, Shaq, to me, or maybe Shaq.
Probably Tim Duncan.
Shaq, Kobe, Tim Duncan. I don't know if there was a singular player. Kobe, because of the he was iconic. Jokic's never going to be the iconic player of the NBA. Like, that's just not going to happen. But maybe Tim Duncan. So maybe there wasn't one. LeBron, clearly the player of the 2010s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although Steph Curry made a late push, a very late second half push to be the player of the decade.
Give it to LeBron.
Let's turn it into like a five-year award. I don't
know. Yeah, maybe it is turning into that. I like it. All right,
that's a great question.
Let's hit our final break. I know that Brendan Vogt will be joining us in just a moment to share an update. He's spoken to Michael Malone. He's spoken to, who else did he tell me he went? Bones! Nice. We heard from Bones, so we know it's going to be some fire. I think we're waiting on Will Barton, so we'll get to that on the other side. Nice. And maybe a little surprise. We'll see.
Oh, a little surprise. Guys, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, we got NFL coming up tomorrow. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers, you guys can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. If they do, you pocket $200 in free bets. So, super simple. Bet $5 on any NFL team to win their game. If that team wins, you get $200 in free bets in your DraftKings account. DraftKings Sportsbook, they've also got same-game parlays right now. We hit one tonight, thanks to D-Line. We hit the Michael Porter Jr. 2 assists or more.
That was great.
Nikola Jokic, 1 three-pointer made.
Yep.
And
Malik Beasley, Malik Beasley, 7.5 points.
7.5 points.
He went for 18. That was a great bet, Eric.
Yeah, Malik Beasley's first good game of the season, actually.
Yeah.
But great bet, Eric.
Shocker.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. Win $200 in free bets if they win. Promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. At HassleCattleCompany.com, use code DNVR10. Get 10% off your entire purchase at checkout. That's code DNVR10 at HassleCattleCompany.com. If you're in the area, come down to the DNVR bar. We got Hassle Cattle Company Wagyu beef on all our burgers. They're incredible. My go-to items on the menu for sure every time that I'm here. Of course, we had to get Wagyu beef in the DNVR bar. We're tied in with Hassle Cattle Company. But if you're not local, that's okay. Go to HassleCattleCompany.com. Use the code DNVR10. Get 10% off your order. If you order over $200 worth of Hassle Cattle Company, you're also going to get free shipping as well. And finally, Strava Craft Coffee. If you're a returning customer, use code DNVR20 to get 20% off your purchase of Strava Craft Coffee. If you're a first-time customer and want to try some CBD-infused coffee, can relieve neck pain, back pain, arthritis, IBS, use code DNVR25, get 25% off your first purchase. You can also get a Strava Craft Coffee subscription.
Love it.
Great way to take in some CBD coffee.
So I have a major announcement to be made right here, live on the show, right here. So next Wednesday, you should already know it. Next Wednesday, we are going to be doing our first ever second screen experience for the Denver Nuggets game on Wednesday. They take on the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm going to be calling that game along with all of my homies here at the NBR. Now here's the trick. We're actually working with a brand new startup out of Silicon Valley for a very cool second screen experience. For DNVR members only, this first one, we'll roll it out, we'll open it up a little bit more, but it's big reason to become a DNVR member, because we have this awesome program that allows you to watch the game along with us calling the broadcast. It's actually really cool, and there's also a live chat feature. It's actually just like the Winner's Lounge, but with the Nuggets game playing in the background. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very, very, very excited about it. We have some really cool stuff planned for it. So if you're on the fence about becoming a DNVR member, I'm telling you this is the opportunity. This site is in beta, but we've already been playing with it. It's going to be really cool. Watch the Nuggets game with us next Wednesday live. We'll be commenting with it. You guys can sit and listen to our commentary. I can't wait. I'm so pumped for it, man. I have so many thoughts I want to share during the game. So many little things I want to point out at all times.
I'm just excited to call a game. I'm excited, man. Yeah. I never thought I'd be calling an NBA game.
So question, who's Shaq and who's Chuck?
Oh, my God. No. That's the studio show. What we're already doing here. Who would I say is D-Line is probably probably Chuck.
That's fair.
Harrison's Kenny the Jet Smith.
Of course. I got to keep everything together.
Shaq over there.
Shaq is
wow,
dead for
Shaq.
Sure.
I like it.
You guys don't know what you're talking about.
For you. So the Nuggets have a weird schedule anomaly going on. They play Memphis at Memphis on Monday. Then they spend a day in Memphis. Then they play at Memphis on Wednesday.
Shout out schedule makers.
The schedule makers, I swear, were drunk when they made the Nuggets a schedule.
They just
year.
Forgot to two, include Denver in the schedule.
Two back-to-backs this week, and then they're like,
oh, shit.
We'll follow up two consecutive back-to-backs with a trip to Memphis to play them twice in 3 days.
I mean, you just got to hope you don't load up on too much barbecue during those four days in Memphis. Like, that 4 days in Memphis, there's what do you do other than eat barbecue and go listen to music?
What else do you do? I went to Memphis, had a good time.
Play some basketball.
I spent a time. There's the Ducks.
I've never been.
You guys know about the Ducks that walk down the staircase or something? You guys don't know about it?
No.
Every day at like 5 o'clock, they waddle down. That's like the attraction at Memphis. That and Graceland.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Will Barton, a Memphis guy.
Anything else? So we can bounce around the NBA here real quick while we wait for vote to load. The Cavs... They've fallen to 3-3.
Are we not going
to
talk about Michael Porter's night at all?
Do we not go into it?
We didn't go into it at all.
All right, we can get to Michael Porter.
Okay.
Take the stage.
All right.
I mean, I'm sitting here, what are we, 6 games in? I'm pretty stunned, man. 3 of 14 from the field. He probably had, 5 games like this all of last year, and he's already had, 4 of them this year. It's pretty stunning. He was a walking... 20-10 last year. He was one of the most efficient players for his age in NBA history. And all of a sudden, he's this guy who can't hit a shot.
0 of 6 from 3.
3 of 14. 0 of 6 from 3. This would be an unheard of line for Michael Porter Jr. last year. This season, though, it's kind of par for the course.
He is...
It's wild.
He's definitely lost confidence. And Michael Porter is one of those guys that, he had the goldfish memory. He'd miss 3 shots and just walk up like he's going to be like he's on fire.
Yeah.
That it's weird when guys that have that much sort of confidence. He called in the playoffs. He's like, they need to run more plays, away. Like, he's a guy that has confidence. I feel like he's lost that, and it's weird to watch. He was rattled tonight, Dev.
Just watching the guys around him, this guy, it's like, and it's not to say that the teammates or anything is against him, but I've never seen a spot where a guy goes 0 for 6 where he's forcing 3-pointers and everybody's just like – and then just gets back on defense like, all right, you got it out your system. Now we could play. Like, it's kind of like when you go into open gym and there's not really a good – like, the guy that's – there's a really bad guy on the team. You let him take the first 2 shots because you know he's not going to get it for the rest of the game. That's what kind of – how it feels with him. Like, it's like he's pushed out and he's just forcing and forcing. The pump fake where the guy jumps and he still shoots it.
Right.
He has
right.
to get rid of that shot completely. Like again. That just has to leave.
That's
but
right.
he keeps doing it because it's like, I don't know when I'm going to get it back.
Yeah.
And his confidence is so low and so broken, but it's not like they're giving up on him. They're still allowing him to keep shooting and keep shooting where he's in a spot that he has to get through it. But for there to be call outs where he needs more plays and things like that, and they're running plays for him in ways that no one else is. It goes to show that they also just, understand, you got to get it at some point.
Now, he did have 12 rebounds tonight.
Yep.
3 offensive rebounds. He was very active on the glass,
yep.
Which is a good sign that his shot wasn't falling and he was doing some other stuff. Thought he was fine defensively. He didn't stand out as being bad defensively. But, if you're looking for one reason why the Nuggets have trouble breaking 100 points, it's right. because Michael Porter Jr. is not giving them consistent production every night. And it's just crazy because, like I said, he was so consistent last year.
What's your take, Ray?
I'm here to be Moses. I'm here to guide us through this dark time. It's a long season. I think, some silver linings for me is that he's passing in a way that...
Three assists tonight.
Give me some optimism. I know it's some, maybe some of it's even that he's not feeling so confident, so he's looking to find other guys. But I think that he's able to do that, that he's willing to maybe play a little bit of defense sometimes and rebound. And I think that his shot's going to come. You know, shooters, you can talk to a lot of people who... J.J. Barea or whoever you want to mention.
J.J. Barea isn't the first name I thought would think of for sure.
J.J. Redick is what I was thinking of. Thank you.
J.J. Okay. Barea.
As soon as I said it, I was like, oh,
you
no.
You named a lot of shooters.
I was like, that's not the name I was thinking of.
J.R. Smith.
Yeah. Okay,
let's
go
with that.
There you go.
Long streaks of, hey, he's having a rough patch, but hey, a few weeks later, maybe even a month later, it could be long and it might be painful, but eventually comes out the other side. And you realize, hey, he actually knows how to play basketball. It's going to be okay.
Moses.
Moses.
Moses, you were great tonight. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Dev, you stay.
We're paying you, Dev.
Dev's disappointed face is incredible
we're not
right
paying
now.
Right.
Look at this.
It was time to party.
It was time to party.
Dev's cracking me up in this costume.
Vote. Nice of you to join us.
Ray's so tall.
So look at the back. There it goes.
A little shorter. Okay. Hey, fellas, how are we doing on this fine Munder Saturday night?
It is a Munder. Did Michael Malone use the word Munder in the presser?
He did not. He did mention that they've done the Munder five times. I was waiting for him to use the word. He did not. I still think he knows it, though. I think he knows.
I think he does,
you
too.
You think he does?
Yeah.
I do.
I don't think he does.
Malone on Bones. Talked about that the ball that found him on the right wing when Bones didn't shoot it. Remember, he swung it to Barton.
I mentioned that one.
I'm sure you guys talked about that. Malone said he yelled at Bones that he's got to shoot that, and then Bones told us the entire bench yelled the same thing at him. And then he said, so he kind of learned that he had to. He's a scorer. He's a shooter. He's got to put those up on the three he did take from the corner. Quote. That was a dagger for sure.
Yeah.
End quote.
It was a dagger. That's what we talked about on the show. It's funny because it was a dagger. I think it like tied the game.
Yeah.
But it felt like a dagger.
Bones is just like, he's still young in that you go like that dagger three you hit. And then he goes, oh yeah, that was a dagger for sure. Like, yeah, man.
I love that.
We'll get to Bones in a second. We'll stick with Malone. But obviously a lot of Malone's comments were on Bones. You guys want a fun one?
Yes.
Quote, every time I put that kid in, it's becoming so obvious. He needs to play every night. So
he's not playing.
So he's not going to play. So lock in a DNP for Ned.
If Bones doesn't play, man, that's bad by Malone. I'm sorry. Like, you can't come out and just say this shit after every game and then not play him.
With the tattoos, it just seems
I know
so
he looks
much
really
more
angry.
Like,
yeah.
So man, much more spice on
it.
If he doesn't play Bones next game, that's a disservice to him, man.
It's the tat right here that
I
really
agree
gets
with you,
me.
Totally.
No, he
I
has
agree.
A dark side.
You got
to
stop
him. He's done some time, man. He's done some time.
Now, there's a difference between what he's telling Bones through the media and when he's talking to, you know,
I don't know how big of a difference there is.
I know,
just
man.
Saying that.
I know. And that's at a certain point, if you're going to keep talking up, you got to play him. But he did say that the main message to the rookie is to just stay ready, right? Malone talks about that all the time. You know, we've talked about Bones kind of being in that RJ Hampton slot, that 11th, 12th slot. That's what Malone said. If things aren't going well, there's foul trouble, if we need energy, his name is going to be called, his number is going to be called. By the way, if you were wondering if any of this is sinking in for Bones, things that Bones said about 100 times in his presser, I have to stay ready when my number is called and when my name is called.
I love it.
Verbatim. So these two are definitely in constant communication.
Malone loves this dude.
I'm going to say it. I've been hesitant on it the whole time. I think this is the breakthrough with Bones. I really do. And that Malone quote, I think you're right. If he doesn't play him after that, it's a disservice. But I think he will. Yeah. Six games, five of their first six opponents are held under 100 points. He's obviously thrilled about that. Anyone want to guess who got the defensive player of the game chain tonight?
We would guess Will Barton.
It was Will Barton.
Hell yeah.
Why do you think that is, Dev?
The last play of the game?
It was the last play of the game.
His second defensive player of the game chain this year.
We heard from Bones, not like a, you know, necessarily one quote to walk out the door with, guys, but a ton of energy. And I know you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You've interviewed him before. Like I said, he said the word stay ready about 100 times. On that three that he deferred, Yoke was getting double teamed. I was open. I was being too unselfish. That's a shot I should take. I came over to the bench and they was just screaming at me to shoot the ball.
I didn't think it was that bad. Like, there are shots that are, we call them record scratches, right? There are record scratches. That one was like a medium record scratch.
But I think that says more about Bones and how they say feel about Bones than the shot itself, right? He's the kind of guy who should shoot that. Right. If he's a little open, let it fly. And that's been the message that the bench and Malone's been giving him. Stay confident. Be yourself. Bones talking about why there was a spark and why the bench embraced him. He just said, I think they love my energy. They love that I stay ready. So there was a lot of that. He said he works his tail off.
They love my energy.
Yeah, this guy, man. He is the master of the self-compliment.
It was a little bit of like a porter saying, like, yeah, it's just an honor to be mentioned with the guys.
That I just mentioned myself.
Yeah, he did compliment himself a bunch. But he said, I work my tail off. I really do. I know sooner or later my number's going to be called or my name is going to be called. On Will Barton's block to end the game, it looked like he had a knockout like in boxing. There's just something about seeing the other team so defeated and flat on the ground.
Finisher.
Will Barton spoke. If you were expecting a sermon, it was a subdued Will Barton tonight, an all-business Will Barton tonight, who told us, to be honest with you, he said, he didn't play well at all on either end of the floor tonight. He knows he didn't have a good game, but that's the beauty of the game, Will said. You play hard, you get your chance. That's what happened tonight.
Love it, man.
On the final play, just trying to win a game. That's all he said. Malone did say about that play, you know, guys didn't have to get back. Agree to disagree there. he was like, I don't know. He was going out of his way to create a compliment. Off, I guess, and I was like, I kind of feel like they do, especially under your. Anyway, he was like, it was a 3-on-1, but Barton got back. And not only did Barton get back.
I didn't have to do this show tonight.
not only did Barton get back.
I had to.
that Jokic did as well. So he highlighted that. Barton was asked about that framing, you didn't have to get back, and Barton said, we're a team that's trying to win a championship. That's the stuff you don't think about, you just do. On the trash talk for Malik Beasley, was it a little extra, fellas? Because
yes.
It was Malik Beasley?
Yes.
Barton says, oh, no. He says he just gets a little turnt up on the road sometimes. Gotta let him know about it.
Mm. Fair. But also, yes.
The right answer publicly. I'm gonna say...
So
I think it was.
You remember the Dwayne Wade dunk on Anderson Varejao where he like dunked and then like beelined it back so he could walk over? He was not in the path to walk over Varejao. He like, that was what Will Barton did. Like he did it. He started walking to half court and he's like, yeah. And then he's like, wait a second. I'm going to walk back over here.
Came back.
And then looks at him and is like, yeah.
Like head down. That was some of the most intense trash talking I've seen.
Oh, I love it. Will Barton really is the heartbeat of the team. I love it.
So, I mean, Barton was subdued. Bones, a lot of energy. Malone, a lot of energy. I mean, Malone is thrilled the way you guys would expect to be thrilled with five Munders, right? And then the Bones thing tonight. As much as he is reluctant to do this and as frustrating as it can be, particularly with Bones this year, don't get it twisted. He loves this. He loves what he's seeing from Bones. He loves that the team has this, that he can go to the young guy. And I think after tonight, he's got to be that much more confident.
Yeah. I love it. A good vibes night. Kayla, hit that outro music. Do we have any other super chats that came in?
No, sir.
This was a fun one, man. I mean, this was really a turning point game. 3-3 or 4-2. You know, it could have been.
4-2, yeah.
It could have gone either way. 3-3, 4-2. You got two road games in a row to Memphis now, but you have a little bit of a cushion. And more than anything, Denver, the starters in particular, have looked really good when they've looked good.
Yeah.
And tonight, even they looked a little rough. Will Barton and Jokic have looked good most of these games. Tonight, they look like second night of a back-to-back. They had to be the gritty sandpaper win, but they were able to do that. And I just love that the team has been able to win pretty and now win ugly. And
they've got a lot of ways to win. I really believe that. And remember, we're still waiting for the top way, which is that potent offense. So it's exciting stuff.
Well, the top way is just Jokic, I would say.
We've got
a couple of those.
Yeah. But you know what I mean. Look, even Jokic versus the rest of the team, that dynamic notwithstanding, like in terms of he can't ever sit, the offense is a top five, top three offense, and it hasn't been so far.
Right.
And it will be, it should be. Anyway, they're still winning.
I love it. Everybody, Saturday night, Halloween. Happy Halloween to everybody. Be extra safe out there. We appreciate you spending your Saturday night with us here in the Winner's Lounge. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Go
See
Nugs.
See you on Monday.
Go Nugs.
Right now at Green Mountain Dental Group, guys, if you're a DNVR listener, hit them up for a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. When you schedule one of those, you're going to get a free Sonicare toothbrush. Top-of-the-line electric toothbrush that's going to lead you to cleaner teeth, better health, maybe less dentist visits in the long run.
Nobody really likes to go to the dentist. Come on, if you say you do, you're lying to yourself. So hit up Green Mountain Dental Group today. A lot of us at DNVR, we already go there for cleanings, obviously x-rays, get cavities filled, whatever dental work we need done. We go to Green Mountain Dental Group. So check them out, located 15 minutes from downtown Denver. And again, when you sign up for a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, when you schedule one of those with the good folks over at Green Mountain Dental Group, you're going to get a free Sonicare toothbrush. That's going to last you a really long time. It's the one that a lot of dentists out there recommend, most do. So again, schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with Green Mountain Dental Group. Get a free Sonicare toothbrush today.